Well done. It's beautiful to hear you sing. At our reunion yesterday, I'll say this humbly, we were a really talented group of kids. We were. At one time, there were 17 of us in ministry, vocational ministry, and we could sing. And we sang. We sang the songs, "Because the Lord is my shepherd," the new 23rd. And we're still good. I mean, it was beautiful. I'll tell you a little, the Searle sisters, they're triplets. They cut a record in high school. They're that good. We had a quartet that of guys that started in 10th grade, 11th grade, and age of Isaac down here. I mean, Isaiah. And, I mean, they were good. They're really, really good. And they sang for us, minus one, because Lynn passed away in 2005. And Lynn was probably the most talented kid in our youth group, could sing, play the trombone, quarterback on a football team, baseball. I remember in Little League, we played their team, and we were going to beat them. I think Lynn threw a no-hitter against us. I think it was 9-0, I think. But the singing was incredible. I'll tell you this. So most of the kids in our youth group went to Englewood High School. Not most of them, but probably 60-70% went to Englewood High School. And they were telling this story that one concert season, their choir was going to have a choir concert on Tuesday night. And they went to the choir director and said, you're not going to be able to have a concert on Tuesday night because we have church on Tuesday night. There were so many members of our youth group that were in the choir in Englewood, they couldn't have a concert because they wouldn't have enough people because they were going to go to church. One girl, Jamie, told us that one VBS, she brought 52 kids to VBS and she got third place. You imagine that? 52 kids to VBS. She said my mom was running all over the place picking up kids. And she got third place in the contest. So our youth pastor's wife came. She just lost her husband, Dave, who was our youth pastor. Great guy. She came and just gave a few reflections. And it was so good to see her and be a part of their lives. They made a big impact. I texted all the young adults and young adult Sunday school class on Friday. And I told them I'm early because I usually do on the Saturday to invite them to come. And I said, I'm going to a 50th anniversary of my church youth group, and this is what I want for you. And in 50 years, you'd go back to your church because you were so close. But it's got to start now. You got to make it happen now. In 50 years, you want to be with those people. I hope it happens for you guys. In 50 years, you'd gather together again and say, it was so good to be at Majestic Baptist Church. You guys spoke into my life. You guys spoke into my life. And we went through all of the guys that spoke at camp, who were our camp speakers, just like you guys have done, and who were the singers, and what crazy things happened at camp. I hope that happens for you. But I know this. Our next reunion in 50 years, I'm not going to be there. Pretty certain that's not going to happen. But it was a great time, so thank you. So today, I needed a bridge sermon. Because next Sunday, as I said, I'll be in Amarillo celebrating Alicia's dad. I'll start crying for the two. And Aaron's going to preach, and I'm going to start the book of Ezra, but I didn't want to start the book of Ezra and then not have it the next week and have a little break. So a bridge sermon. So I've got some buckets on stage here. I got some professional looking buckets, as you can see. Now these are good. I could turn them around and I wouldn't, but I decided I'm going to go ahead and encourage you to tithe an offering and give, okay? I don't talk very much about it. You know that. I don't know if I've ever preached a sermon on giving here that wasn't in the Word, that I didn't come to naturally, but I'm going to do it right here. Keep giving, please. Honor God with your tithes and offering. That's what happened 50 years ago when people gave so kids could grow. That's what you're doing now. Thank you. Oh, did I tell you about tithes and offerings? All right, so we're talking about God's love here, okay? So which bucket do you think best represents God's love? Down here? Okay, you got no over there. How about over here? No? This one? Yeah, that's one I would say too. I think it best represents God's love of the buckets that are here. But you notice my sermon title was God's Love is Not a Bucket. It was in the bulletin last week if you didn't happen to see that. But we usually try to put it in there. Little hint. What's coming up? Even though my nose is a bucket right now. Here's an article I read about three weeks ago that just impacted me. Zechariah 13:11. I'm quoting now. Zechariah 13:11 says, "In that day a fountain will be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity." That's Zechariah 13. Now the author. It doesn't say, in that day, a bucket, a pool, or lake. Because a bucket has a bottom. A pool has sides. And a lake has an enclosure of land around it. But a fountain, as long as it's a fountain, which is as long as it keeps flowing, is infinite. There's no end to it. That's why God's love is not a bucket or even a lake, because these things have ends and they run out. God's love for you, his mercy and forgiveness, have no end, no limit, and no running out. His mercies are new every morning because it's a fountain. That's why you don't receive it just once, but every day of your life. Rejoice, because God loves you and still loves you and yet loves you more. Come to him today and be refreshed. Receive the new living waters waiting now to fill your heart again, because his love for you is like a fountain. So for a couple of weeks, I've been thinking about God's love. And scriptures from songs I've heard. And I wanted to just share some very simple thoughts about God's love with you this morning. God's love. God's love is who he is. I'm going to have a lot of scripture today. I'm not necessarily going to open my Bible, but I've got them down here. And I had a lot of fun on Thursday and Friday finding the graphics. You're not going to see many words other than in the graphics today. But God's love is who he is. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 and verse 16. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Because God is love. So we have come to know, John says, and to believe that God has a love for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. You see, we talk about God, and we know that he is holy, holy. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Holy. Or you could say fully holy. There's a little rhyme. There's a little pattern to it. But that's who God is, right? He is holy, holy. He's fully holy. But I also remind you of this, that he is wholly lovely. He's wholly lovely because that's who God is. That's his character. All aspects of his character are fully filled with his love, even his righteous wrath. Get it? Even his righteous wrath is full of his love because that's who he is. Can't move away from that. It's a foundation of who he is. It's one of his characteristics. And they're all important, valuable, but every one of those characteristics, every one of those attributes is fully filled with his love. Secondly, God's love has been demonstrated. You with me? God's love has been demonstrated. John, 1 John, John just writes about his love, especially in chapter 4. It's just filled with the aspects of his love. But God, this is how God showed love among us. Notice it doesn't say, this is how God told us about what love is. No, this is how God showed his love among us. He demonstrated it toward us. He sent his only one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. This is the demonstration of it. He didn't just talk about it, which he did talk about, but as he talked about it, he demonstrated it because he came. And then he gave his life as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Romans chapter 3, or Romans chapter 5, verse 8, a verse that you probably well know if you know the Romans road, 3:23, 6:23, Romans 5, 8, 10, 9, and 10, right? If you know that, you used some of those at camp. When you were at camp, you used those verses while you were there. But God demonstrates his own love toward us. God shows his love toward us. God puts it into action among us. That what? That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were scumbags, while we're terrible, Christ died for us, gave his life for us. Greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends, John 13:15. Greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. And we weren't even his friends. We were at enmity with God. We were split apart from him. And yet he gave his life for us. I was listening to a song by Aaron Schust Friday on my walk. And it said this, something like this. It said, sometimes you have to put the nails into your own hands. Get that? That's what God did to his son. Get that? The love of God through the Roman soldiers, of course, but God has said, this is what has to be done for us. Sometimes you have to put the nails into your own hands, what God did for us, into his son. Why? So that we could have eternal life. So that we could have his righteousness on our account, as Jessica's song talked about. So that we could experience his mercy. I was trying to picture that and thinking about a kid running to his parents, to his mom or to his dad, and the parents have their arms wide open. You remember doing this, you know, when your kids were young, and you can't do it when they're teenagers anymore because they're too big to jump into your arms, right? But as a kid, a child runs into open arms, and isn't that what Jesus did on the cross, as you've read before? I love you this much, with his arms outstretched. I love you this that I would even put the nails into my own son's hands so that he could give his life for you and for me. Third, God's love endures forever. God's love endures forever. I can't open my Bible for this one. this endure is not the kind of endure that you do, you know, like listening to dad jokes or whatever, you know. I got to endure you, you know. I really don't like this person, but, you know, I'm in this place, so I'm going to endure their presence while I'm here. It's not that kind of endures. This is the endures that's like a marathon runner making it to the finish line, which, anybody here run a marathon? We got one, John. Good job, John. Okay, we got one over there, too. Jason, yeah, good job. They could tell, they could describe this for us, what it's like to run a marathon. It's not the 100-yard dash. So you endure that. You go through it. You train for it. You make it happen. And when you get to mile 21, 22, and that it's killing you, you know, and you got to go up, especially if you're Boston, Heartbreak Hill, you know, you got to go up that hill to maybe be able to get up that thing. You endure. You keep going. You keep pushing. God's love does that for us. It's just there for us all the time. He's running after us, as we've sung that song before. Beautiful. We sang it up there with our group the other day. He's running after us, keeping after us, being a part of what God has for us. Psalm 130:36 talks about his love, and you read through it. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who does alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by his understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures. 26 times, for his steadfast love endures forever. Do you think he's trying to make a point? What? His steadfast love endures forever. Get the point. This is what I want you to understand. He says, as I write this, as God gives me this opportunity to share with you, his steadfast love endures forever. It's always going to be there for you. Always. Because it endures forever. Jeremiah 31:3. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, my faithfulness has continued to you. Guess what verse I read last night in my Bible? Jeremiah 31:3. My one-year Bible. Okay, Lord, thank you. Right where I was last night. One of the verses I put in on Thursday. I didn't know I was going to be in Jeremiah 31. Well, I knew I was going to be in Jeremiah. But it's like God to do that. And emphasize this. His love is everlasting. And therefore, I continue my faithfulness to you. As Jeremiah gives his message to the Babylonian captivities. Now listen to this. Because his love is who he is. And being that he is eternal and he has no beginning or end, it stands that his love has no beginning or end either. Because that's who he is. He has no beginning or end. And he is love, therefore his love has no beginning or end toward us. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Fourth, God's love is unfailing. It says in Psalm 36, just a ways back here. Look at this one for you. 36:7. He says this. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. How precious is your unfailing love. And that's what I've been experiencing over the past 2 weeks. As I've been thinking of this, thinking, dwelling on his love. Man, it's just been so good to be able to do that and to remember what he's done for us. Psalm 109:26. Help me, Lord my God. Save me according to your unfailing love. And I know you could go back through this and you could find a number of different unfailing loves in the Psalms. You see, no matter the situation, God is there for you. God's love is there for you. In the good and the bad and the pretty and the ugly, his love and he himself are there for you. Yeah, one person agrees with me. It's good. Okay. Think about that, my friend. Whatever your situation is right now, and I know you probably got all sorts of situation all about you, I'm here to remind you that God loves you. And his love is unfailing. And it's never ending. Because that's who he is. Fifth, God's love is lavish. One of the versions of 1 John 3:1 says this: see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. That is so good. But I also like this one, this translation. Consider the kind and extravagant love the Father has lavished on us. The extravagant love. Not just a little bit of love. The extravagant love. The fountain love that he's extended to us. It's a part of his life. I've been kind of keeping track, going through my open windows and daily breads when I'm reading. You know, now I had a little advantage. I knew what I was going to preach on in a couple of weeks. But it kept popping up. 7-5, July 5, open window, daily bread. 7-9, open windows. 7-11, daily bread. This was so good. I shared this with the men on Thursday morning in our little men's group. It's titled Heavenly Abundance. I expected 8 bananas. Instead, when I opened the grocery bags delivered to my home, I discovered 20 bananas. I quickly realized that my move to England meant I also moved from ordering groceries in pounds to requesting them in kilograms. Instead of 3 pounds, I had ordered 3 kilograms, nearly 7 pounds of bananas. With such an abundance, I made several batches of a favorite banana bread recipe to share the blessing with others. As I mashed up the fruit, I began thinking about the other areas of my life where I've experienced abundant, unexpected abundance, and each path led back to God. Paul appears to have a similar experience in reflecting on God's abundance in his life. Like Paul, we've all received an overwhelming abundance of grace when we accepted Jesus' offer of rescue from sin. Unexpected abundance. Unexpected abundance. I experienced it over the last 2 days. Unexpected abundance. The stories were told. The encouragement that was given. The challenges that were given to make a difference. To keep making a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's lavished our love. His extravagant love. He's lavished on us. That we should be called children of God. Many years ago, when Alicia and I were in Amarillo, our friends Bob and Debbie Neal, they lavished love on us one night. We had been a part of their lives. Bob was a golfer. He was a very good golfer, played in college. And so we played golf, and their kids were born about the same time, and we had helped them through some marriage struggles. And they wanted to thank us for that. And we said, yeah, we'd love to do that. And they said, I'll tell you what, We're gonna go out to dinner. I want you to dress up, coat and tie, dress, because we're going to the Petroleum Club, 34th floor of the Amarillo Bank building, or whatever the name of the bank is now, because it's changed 42 times since then, I'm sure. It's one of those places where you go up there, you're all dressed up, you walk in there, the maitre d' comes, takes you to a table, he pulls the table out. So you can just walk right into your seat. There's no crumbs on the seat or anything like that that you have to scoot off to get rid of them, right? They push the table in. Each of the ladies, Debbie, Alicia, gets a rose. There's a menu. I don't understand half the stuff that's on it. I don't speak those languages. There's no prices on it either. Never been to a restaurant like that. The waiter comes up, takes your order. Nothing in his hands. They bring this food that's exquisite. I mean, it's got all these little circles and stuff with, you know, the sauce they put over everything. They don't do that at Wendy's or Burger King, right? You know, they slather that bester on there, right? It was exquisite. It was abundant. It was lavish. And then Bob said, oh, I forgot my wallet. No, he didn't say that. No. They lavished love on us. And you know, you've probably had that in your lifetime. But multiply that by infinity. And that's God's love. That's God's love. What he's done for us. Extravagant love that he's lavished on us. That we should be called the children of God. Who are we that we should be called the sons and daughters of this God? Sixth, God's love is boundless. I used to sign off my letters, but I was putting Christ's boundless love. I haven't done that in many, many years. I probably need to start it because it's a great reminder to me of his boundless love. And as I thought about that, it just took me to Ephesians chapter 3. I want you to read it with me. It's just a part of it. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. From Ephesians chapter 3:18. Tim English, our former associate pastor, put that together when he started kind of his own little ministry. He just said, go wild. Go wild. Go. How wide, long, high, deep. Go wild for Jesus. Man, he did a good job with that. That his love for us, his unfailing love, his infinite love for us is boundless. You can't measure it in any way. You can't wrap your head, your heart, your hands around it, but you can experience it in your head, in your hands, and in your heart. There's no way to wrap it up, but you can experience it in your head, your heart, and in your hands. We just sang a song, Amazing Grace, Unending Love. Unending love that is boundless. There's no limit to it. No start to it, no limit to it. Excuse me. Seventh, God's love is for all. You'd probably choose the verse that I would choose to. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. Yeah. God's love is for all. You see, God's love is for everyone here today, but it's also for everyone out there too. That's why we want to share Jesus with them and encourage them to follow Jesus. And they told stories in our reunion about how we had ministered to people and those people came to know Jesus Christ, and now 50 years they're sitting with us because they're following Jesus. Because we shared Jesus with them in some way and they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ through our ministry as a youth group. Wow. What a tremendous opportunity to share. Lastly, God's love is a never-ending fountain. I got to get back to that. We can take that from that prophetic passage in Zechariah 13:1, that it's always going to be there. It's a fountain. It keeps going. 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 It's always there for us. Who am I to be loved by you? Who are we to be called your sons and daughters? Your righteousness covered over a multitude of our sins. And now you're calling me home again. The second verse starts out this way. Love poured out from an almighty God, King of heaven, Holy One. And that pouring keeps going. 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 Right? Because it's a fountain. It never ends. It doesn't have a beginning. It doesn't have an end. It is always there for us. It's boundless. It's infinite. It's unfailing. All the things we said are part of his love for us. And you can see why I've had a fun 2 weeks thinking about his love. I needed it after 2 Peter. A lot of hard stuff in there. God's love is who he is. Fully, fully who he is. Therefore, we should what? If this, then this is what we should do. First of all, we should thank him for his love. I've been doing that over the past 2 weeks. And I hope that you'll join me in doing that. Just being just a little bit more thankful, a little bit more aware of what he's done. See, because awareness brings thankfulness. Because you've heard this sermon today, you're going to be much more aware about it. And you know what that's going to cause you to do? Love others. That's going to cause you to be more thankful. Because you've been brought into it. The intention has been given to it. And you're going to be more thankful. And that'll be so good for you and for me. We love because he first loved us. It was he, the initiator, that showed his love toward us. Psalm 138, verse 2. I bow down towards your holy temple, and I give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. To give praise to him and to honor him and to thank him for his thankfulness. Like I said, I've been much more thankful over the past 2 weeks than before. And my prayer, my intention today is that you too would be much more thankful for his love in the next weeks. Because you've been now made aware of it. Oh, you knew it, but now it's been heightened in your life. Secondly, we need to embrace his love. I couldn't find a graphic that fit this, so I had to get this one. I thought it was pretty good. Wrap God's love around you. Man, I wish they'd have put embrace God's love around you. Also, I did look up all the places where I got these from. Mary Kay Grace, they were all reliable places. They were all Christian that you could go to and you could find help for various things. Wrap God's love around you. Embrace God's love for you. You know, this verse is back from Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read the whole thing because I don't have all of the verses in my little notes here. But man, that's just such a good passage. Romans 8 is such a good chapter. That's a great one to we memorized it years ago as a family. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's right, exactly. That's what he's saying. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. As it is written, for your sake, we're being killed all the day long. We're being slaughtered. We're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us so. We sang that song growing up. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us so. Anybody ever sing that song? Jamie, did you sing that song? Oh, we might want a song Jamie doesn't know. She knows all those songs and she teaches them to us. It's so beautiful. Anybody know that song? Really? Oh, we sang some of those songs that, oh, they were so precious to us growing up. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors to him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing's going to be able to do that. Thank you. Nothing's going to be able to do that. It's a fountain. It's boundless. It's eternal. It's unfailing. And it's going to keep being poured out to us. And nothing can separate us from that. When we know Jesus Christ is our Savior. And you're going to experience that this week. You're going to be thinking about that. I'm going to pop into your head in the middle of the night. Is Pastor Scott telling you, be thankful? No, maybe God's face would pop into your health too. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. I read this from BibleStudyTools.com. God's love takes many forms throughout Scripture. 1 John 4:8 even refers to God himself as love. Love could be explained, and I thought this was good. Love could be explained as wanting the best for someone. That's a good definition of love. Love is wanting the best for someone. And that's exactly what God intends for us. God loves you simply because he loves you. You don't have to work for his affection. You don't have to set yourself straight before God can pour out his love over you. God is not an angry taskmaster who shows affection only when you succeed. He's a loving father who will always love you no matter what. Take time to receive the depth of his love for you today. Allow his love to heal you, transform you, free you, and lead you to the abundant life he has always longed for you. Okay, so let's take a moment and thank him right now. You take him. The quietness in this moment, he will hear your prayer. Thank him for his great love. Take a moment to do that. Thank you, O Father, our Redeemer, Creator, in grateful devotion, our tribute we bring. Thank you. Thank you for who you are, that you are love, and that you have loved us, and you've demonstrated your love toward us, this unfailing, this infinite, this love that you've demonstrated. Jesus' name. Amen. Let's thank him for his love. Let's embrace his love. Let's return his love. And one of the best ways to return his love, to love him with your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. What better way to say I love you than to give him love back? Love him with your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Mark chapter 12, Matthew chapter 22. Love him with everything you got. That's all he asks of us. We love him because he first loved us. Loving him has a great ROI, return on investment. Because he's loved us. He's first loved us. Because he's loved us. And return that love to him. Tell him through the day, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Set a timer. When you see something to remind you of it, when you're reading the scriptures, tell him that you love him. Fourth, live in his love. John 14, 21 says this, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will show myself to him, and I will love him. I thought this was good. Obedience, God's love language. Obedience, God's love language. Because when we obey, we tell him, I love you. When things that he's given to us, the helpful things to help us live life and to be protected, and to be cared for, and to share with other people. When we do those things, we say to him, I love you. Think about this. Have you ever, in the midst of sinning, said to the Lord, I love you, Lord? I got a few chuckles out of a few of you there. I can guarantee you've never done that before. Oh yeah, Lord, sinning. Really feeling good, looking good, but love you. I love you, Lord. Yeah, that's incongruous. That doesn't work because it's not compatible. You can't be sinning and say, I love you, Lord, because the Word of God says, He who loves me will obey me and do the things I say. But, you know, just maybe today while you're sinning, go ahead and just try it and see how it works. It won't work. Because it doesn't say to him, I love you. It's untruthful. It's incongruous. It's incompatible with what he says. Fifth, demonstrate his love. Love the Lord your God, heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? And then what? Love your neighbor as yourself. The great commandment. Again, Mark chapter 12. Okay. Love your neighbor as yourself. Even those neighbors who are still shooting off fireworks. I saw a great post the other day. I don't think I put it in there because it didn't have room. But I saw a great post today. It said this. This is ridiculous. This is what it said. This is ridiculous. It's July 7th and people are still shooting off fireworks. And I'm afraid they're going to light my Christmas decorations on fire. Love your neighbors yourself, even though they're still shooting off the fireworks, right? Or whoever they are, right? But this is what God called us to do. To love our neighbor as ourselves. A new commandment I give to you, God, Jesus said. A new commandment I give to you. That you love one another. Just as I've loved you, love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. If you what? If you love one another. He knows what works. He's like pretty sharp. And this is what he calls us to do. The person next to you, the person ahead of you, the person behind you, the person you're going to walk out with. God calls us and says, this is what I called you to do. And when you obey my commandments, you tell him, and you tell yourself, I love you. I love you, Lord. I love you. 1 John 4:7, dear friends, let us love one another, for love is from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Now let me wrap it up. Let me land the plane, okay? Nothing speaks more clearly of God's love than the cross. Nothing speaks more clearly of God's love than the cross. A song, one of the things that prompted me to put this sermon together was this song by Cain. It's really popular right now. Cain's a brother, two sisters. I can identify with that because I sang with my sister, my brother. We had a really creative name, the Bailey Trio. But we were pretty good. But I've been listening to this song. I mean, you've probably heard it. It's called No More. He said, the words, you're the one I'm running after. This is God speaking. You're the one I'm running after. You're mine and you matter. Your life's worth dying for. I couldn't love you any more than I do right now. There's nowhere I wouldn't go to get to you, my child. Take a look at the cross and they'll know it for sure. I couldn't love you any more than I do right now. Take a look at the cross, and you'll know it for sure. I couldn't love you any more than I do right now. At 9:26 a.m. on July the 14th, 2024, I'm here to remind you, he couldn't love you any more than he does right now. Embrace it. Interesting. The first song I heard today when I turned on the radio getting ready today, guess what song it was? That one. For me, God's eternal plan that I have this song. The first song I hear at 6:15 or whatever time it was this morning is this song. Thank you. Thank you. he couldn't love you any more than he does right now. God loves you. Let it go deep today. Let it change your heart to whatever situation you're in. Let it spread out to the people that are all about you. Because God loves you.